So we'd like you to think this morning about who are your neighbors. I've lived in lots of different places, different homes, and one thing I've learned is that you can't choose your neighbors. You might choose your home, but you don't know who's going to be living down the street or next door. Some neighbors are kind and helpful, and you're happy that they're there. And some neighbors ignore you, and they're most happy when you ignore them. And that can be okay. Some neighbors are quiet. You don't ever see them, really. Other neighbors are loud, and they're hard to miss. And maybe you wish they didn't live next door. Of course, it depends on where you live, right? My grandmother used to live out in the country and had several acres. And so for her to visit her neighbors, it took some effort. She had to walk several minutes just to get next door to find out what was going on at her neighbor's house. But on the other hand, I've lived in apartments before, and you live in an apartment, and you've got a neighbor to the left and the right and above and below and more neighbors than you can count, and you probably don't even know all their names. But Jesus told us that how we treat our neighbors says a whole lot about the condition of our hearts. In fact, how we treat our neighbors gives evidence of the genuineness of our faith. So it matters, right? We better know who our neighbors are. And then we need to listen to what Jesus says about how we should love those neighbors. And so that's what we're going to do this morning. We're going to listen to Jesus' words about what it means to have neighbors and how we should treat them. And this will be a familiar passage, I think, to most of you. It's from Luke chapter 10, beginning at verse 25. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey and brought him to an inn and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. "Look after him," he said, "and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have." Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? The expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." And Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." We know this as the parable of the Good Samaritan, and that phrase, Good Samaritan, has sort of made its way into our cultural language. Even people who don't know where this story is from know what a Good Samaritan is, right? It's someone who stops to help someone in need, or someone who gives anonymously to provide for some need that they're concerned about. In Jesus' story, the Good Samaritan was a good neighbor. And that's really what the story is about. It should really be the parable of the good neighbor, someone who shows mercy to a person in need. In this case, to a man who had been attacked by robbers. So as we look at this parable, I want us to think about our own neighbors. Think about who they are, what they need. Think about how you can show love to them. Jesus told this story in answer to the question, who is my neighbor? And the person who asked him that question was an expert in the Old Testament law. And he knew lots of things about God's Word. He knew lots of things about how to honor and please God. But he wanted to be sure that he knew who he needed to love. He knew that God's Word, and it's from the Old Testament, before it even appeared here in Jesus' language or connected with Jesus, love your neighbor as yourself. The man understood that. But so then he asked Jesus, well, then who do I have to love? Who is my neighbor? And he wanted Jesus to clarify that for him. It's easy for us to love our friends. It's easy for us to love our family, to love people you like. There are people we choose to spend time with. It's easy to love them. But our neighbors, that's a little more open-ended, right? Who are my neighbors? Who do I really have to love? That's what the expert in the law was asking. And again, you can't choose your neighbors. You can't choose who you need to love the way you love yourself. So Jesus' story challenged this man who asked the question to expand his view of who he should consider a neighbor, and maybe we also need to be challenged in the same way to sort of expand who we understand to be within that realm of folks I need to be loving and showing mercy to. There are four main characters in this parable that Jesus told. The first is the man who is traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho. Now, that's a journey of about 15 miles. And back in Jesus' day, it was mostly a really remote road. It was a road that people traveled from time to time, but there weren't other towns or villages along that route. And so as you made your way from Jerusalem to Jericho, you were mostly by yourself, except for the other people traveling along that road. And it was kind of a notorious road. It was known as being dangerous, partly because it was remote, also because it was kind of a mountain pass. And so there were cliffs and places where you could stumble off the road and maybe fall and get hurt down the side of the embankment. And it was not uncommon also for people to encounter trouble along the road. And that's why Jesus chose this as the setting for his story. And so he says there was a traveler making his way down to Jericho when he was attacked and robbed and left for dead. And I don't think any of us here, maybe you've been mugged, I don't know. Probably never had this experience though. But then there are three other characters in this story. There was a priest, a Levite, and a Samaritan. And that's not the beginning to a joke. In fact, it's kind of a sad story, right? But the priest and the Levite both see the injured man as they're also traveling along the road, and they decide to just pass right on by. They don't want to get involved. It could be they're afraid the robbers, whoever did this to that man, maybe they're waiting, they're going to do the same to me, so I'm getting out of here. I'm just going to keep on my journey. Don't get involved with his business, mind my own business, and maybe I'll be okay. Maybe they're too busy. Maybe they just didn't care about this man. But Jesus doesn't tell us. He just says they passed right on by. Now, it's interesting that Jesus chose these two characters to be a priest and a Levite. People who, in Jewish culture, were set apart, right, for religious service. People who were looked up to as being godly. People who were considered to be extra spiritual. People who were considered even to be examples of how you should live to honor God. And yet in the story that Jesus tells, we see that, at least in Jesus' mind, just because you hold a religious title, just because other people look up to you as a godly person, that's no guarantee that you will have the sort of genuine faith or heart of compassion that God would like his people to have. And that's the point Jesus is making with the priest and the Levite. But then along comes a Samaritan. Now we should understand that Jewish people, and Jesus was Jewish, and everybody listening to this parable at the time was Jewish. Jewish people did not like or trust Samaritans. Samaritans were foreigners. They actually were sort of descendants in sort of a halfway descendants from the Jews, but now they had mixed with other people groups, and so they were no longer considered to be really Jewish, and they followed other kind of distorted views of the Jewish religion, and so they weren't accepted in Jewish culture. In fact, they were considered to be unclean in a spiritual or ceremonial sense. They were not good enough to associate with Jewish people. Let's be honest. As we think about our own culture and bring this story into today, many Jews in Jesus' day looked at Samaritans then the way we today might look at Muslims. Right? Or at immigrants. By the way, a lot of people who immigrate to the U.S. are Christians. And yet still we have this idea that, oh, they're foreign, they're different than us, they don't speak our language, and so we don't accept them. Or we might look at homeless people this way. Or at anyone who looks or acts or speaks or just lives differently than we do. And there is, running through this story, that theme that we need to deal with. Today we call it xenophobia. That's a big word that says fear, means fear or mistrust of people who are different than you. People who are foreign. Doesn't have to be from a foreign country, but just different. People who look or act different. And it's common to human nature, right? It was common in Jesus' day. The Jewish people had this. It's common today. People of all cultures and all races and all around the world, there's something in us that makes us stand back from people who are different. And that's how the Samaritans were. They were different. And so just as Jesus chose a priest and a Levite to be surprising examples of people who you might think would honor God but then don't, Jesus also chooses a Samaritan to be a surprising example of someone who you might just dismiss, but then it turns out that he becomes the one who loves his neighbor in a way that honors God. So the Samaritan sees the man on the side of the road and he decides to stop and help. And he bandages the man's wounds. He happens to have with him oil and wine, which I guess in that day was a form of medicine or at least a way to clean his wounds and help him feel better. And he uses that. And then he puts the man onto his own donkey and he leads him, finishes the journey, I imagine, into Jericho. And there he cares for him overnight. And then he tells the innkeeper, you know, here's some money and I'll pay for any other expenses that you incur as you care for this man. And I'll check back with you in a few days. And he makes sure that the man is cared for and he can heal and get back on his feet. So why did the Samaritan do this? Why did he stop in the middle of his journey? Why did he go out of his way? Why did he spend his own money? Why did he take the time to care for this person? Well, Jesus says because he took pity on him. Later, the expert in the law, as he answers Jesus' question about being a neighbor, he says, well, he was the one who had mercy on him. He cared for the stranger because he knew that this injured man was his neighbor. And that's the point of Jesus' story. So as we let this amazing little story flow through our hearts this morning, I want us to take hold again of this question, who are your neighbors? Because once we can answer that, then we know what we have to do, right? We have to love them. We have to show mercy to them. Who are your neighbors? The first way that we can answer that question is that your neighbors are people close to you. And I mean that in terms of proximity. They're physically close to you. They're people who live near you or that you see during the day or that you come in contact with as you go around town. They might live next door. We know those are our neighbors, or down the street, but they might also live across town, or maybe they just work nearby, or you might see them at the gym, or you might run into them at the grocery store. Your neighbors are people you're sitting here in church with this morning. We're all neighbors. Neighbors are people you might stand in line with at the bank tomorrow. Neighbors are people that you can see, you can talk to, you can touch. The Samaritan knew that man was his neighbor because he was right there. He was walking by him, and there he is. He's a neighbor because he's close by. Of course, God wants us to love everyone, right? We hear about missionaries serving in China. We love those people, but that's a little different because we don't know them. We can't talk to them. We can't touch them. We're grateful that Peter and Anna Kim do that. They serve on our behalf and behalf of the Covenant Church, touching and seeing and talking to those people, but they're not neighbors to us in that sense. You see, when Jesus told this story, he had in mind people who were close to us, people who we could interact with and get to know. Now, that means that you may not know all of your neighbors' names. You might know your next-door neighbor's names, but you're not going to know everyone who you run into at the grocery store or who is driving down the street in the car next to you. But those people are your neighbors. The Samaritan didn't know the man he stopped to help, as far as we know. Jesus tells us in the story, he doesn't even give them names, but he stops to help him simply because he's there. He's nearby, and he's in need. So neighbors are people close to us. They're people who we can know and we can reach out and touch and talk to. So that means our view of neighbors needs to expand a little bit, and that's part of Jesus' story. But then there's more to it, and that is that your neighbors are people with real needs. With real needs. It's one thing to know who your neighbors are. It's another thing to actually know your neighbors. To talk to them. To listen to them. To see their successes and their accomplishments, but also to be aware of their challenges and their problems and the concerns that they have in their lives. Everyone that you will encounter this week, you think about the Samaritan walking along the road, he didn't know when he set out that day who he was going to run into on the road. Maybe he passed by people he said hello to, but then he comes upon this man in need. And everyone who you will encounter this week, out driving around at the grocery store, walking through your neighborhood, everyone you come in touch with will have real needs. And you may not know what those needs are right away. Sometimes you can see it, but sometimes you can't. Sometimes you have to talk to people and get to know them. And as you do, you may find out that they have some financial struggles or some medical needs. Maybe they're marriage isn't the way they would like it to be, or their kids have run off and they don't know where they are. Maybe they have disappointments that they've dealt with throughout their lives. They have needs. They have concerns just like you do. And for us to be good neighbors, to truly love the people around us, we have to be aware of those needs. We have to understand those challenges that they face. We have to listen and pay attention. Not so that we can gossip about them, not so that you can tell this neighbor what you heard about that neighbor, not so you can cast judgments on them, but so that you can offer a helping hand or a word of encouragement or be there in times of need. Now, the parable of the Good Samaritan, I think, should come with a bit of a warning label. And that is that if you stop to help someone, like the Samaritan did, be prepared that it's going to cost you something. It's going to be inconvenient for you. It's going to take time. It might take money. You look at what the Samaritan did. First, he saw the man there, which again, the priest and the Levite saw the man. They passed by. But the Samaritan saw him. He took pity on him. Now, that's one thing. You can feel bad for people. and then just pass on by. The priest and the Levite might have felt pity, but it didn't cause them to do anything for the man. But then the Samaritan got involved. It says he went to him. He didn't pass by. He went to him. He bandaged his wounds. He poured on oil and wine. He put the man on his own donkey. Brought him to an inn. He took care of him all night long, apparently. The next day he paid the innkeeper. And he said, any other expense I will repay you for. In other words, stopping to help wasn't just one thing. Oh, I hope you feel better. I'll pray for you. No, he got involved. And he followed through, and one thing led to another, and it ended up costing him the rest of his day, and it cost him money, and then he sort of gave the innkeeper a blank check, and whatever it costs, I want to take care of this man. And are we willing to show that sort of mercy? Are we willing to get involved in that way? Because once you get involved, once you really start loving someone, it's going to cost you. But whatever it costs you will be an investment in God's kingdom. And it doesn't mean necessarily that you're going to get money back, but it does mean that Jesus will take that investment that you make in that person's life, in showing love to that person in need, and Jesus will turn it into something fruitful. That life will be changed. Others will see what's happening. And that investment that you make in helping that person will produce dividends for God's kingdom in ways that you may not be able to predict or even understand as you're stopping to help. But it all starts with seeing your neighbor's need. The parable teaches another truth about neighbors, and that is that your neighbors are people like you and people not like you. And this is where we get a little bit, cut a little close to home in this story. You can't read this parable without being confronted with the issue of prejudice. And that was just as much a part of the culture that Jesus lived in as it still is today and has been for 2,000 years in every nation, every community, every society. We are human beings, and so we suffer from, as the victims of, and as the perpetrators of prejudice. It's what people do. We're fallen. We're sinful. And Jesus was getting at that issue with this story. Jesus' Jewish audience would have been struck as they heard this story, maybe even offended, possibly even angered when Jesus told this story, because the Samaritan, the foreigner, the outcast, the one they considered unclean, ended up kind of being the hero of the story, right? And they wouldn't have liked that. So if Jesus told this parable today in our culture, instead of a Samaritan, which we may not know what a Samaritan is, so instead, I think, instead of a Samaritan showing love to their neighbor, it might be a Central American immigrant, right? Or it might be a Muslim woman with her head covered. Or it might be a young African American man. And we would hear the story a little differently, wouldn't we? If we changed just a couple of words. You see, you can't understand this parable fully the way Jesus told it without coming to terms with the fact that your neighbors may look like you and act like you and speak like you, and your neighbors also may not look like you or act like you or speak like you. They may not share your religion. They may not share your cultural background. But being different doesn't make someone any less worthy of your compassion. Someone who is different is still a neighbor that Jesus is asking us to love. And so that brings us to the central lesson of this parable, and that is that your neighbors are people you can love in Jesus' name. And that includes a whole lot of people. It includes anyone who's close enough that you can talk to or touch, anyone who has needs, anyone who's like you or not like you, people you can love in Jesus' name, whoever they are, whatever they need. Jesus is asking us to show compassion and love. He's asking us to treat others the way we would like to be treated, to love our neighbor as ourselves. He's also asking us to treat others the way He treats us. And that is with grace and mercy that we don't deserve, but that God shows to us because He loves us. So let's bow our heads and ask God to help us with this challenge. Lord, we do ask that You would help us to love the people around us. Lord, we thank You for neighbors who are in need, who are different from us. Forgive us for those times when we may pass by because we don't have time or energy to stop and help, or maybe because our hearts aren't feeling compassionate in the moment, or maybe because we look at someone and don't want to get involved in their lives or to understand their needs. Lord, forgive us for those attitudes and teach us to see people, whoever they are, wherever they are, whenever we encounter them, to see them the way You see them, as people You love, as people created in Your image, as people who need to know the Savior just as we need Jesus as our Savior. And so, Lord, teach us to love. Teach us to show mercy to those in need. And we thank You that we can be a part of spreading the good news of Jesus, of showing Your love to those in need. Lord, help us to meet this challenge in the name of Jesus. Amen.